Okay, so this weekend was a fucking shit fest, wasn't it? This is my first audio, like, ramble since everything that happened this weekend. It's crazy. I got a call from my mom about half an hour ago. Apparently, my grandma, couldn't breathe. So they ended up calling 911 and they took her back to the hospital. And I asked my mom, do you want me to run over there? And she was like, no, I'll let you know what happens. But yeah, my grandma is in the hospital again. I saw her yesterday and she seemed good. So I don't know. Hopefully everything's right. I did want to just, like, really briefly touch on some of the things that I talked about yesterday in my post, which a lot of you guys have been, like, super supportive and super kind to me, so I appreciate it. So I did also want to touch on the nathophobia that I talked about, because a few of you guys reached out and said that you guys also experienced it. I had two people, like, message me and tell me that they didn't really understand what it meant. And so I kind of wanted to elaborate on that just in case you guys want to know, like, what my experience is. Before I get into that, I got up this morning and I, checked my messages, and I had a lot of messages from support from a lot of the people that are in the community, the GWA community. And, I was, like, really... It was cool, you know, to know that, I haven't really, like, completely been a huge part of, like, you know, of the community. Like, I was always the type of person that would just, like, post my audios and then, like, go about my day. I wasn't really, like a part of, like, backstage and things like that. So the fact that so many of my fellow, like, creators, like, went out of their way to write me messages of support really, really means a lot to me. Because I know that a lot of them know what it's like and they've been in my position before. So I really, really appreciate everybody that reached out to me and sent me a message. The nataphobia. From a really young age, I used to go to Catholic school, and I grew up in the church. I was in a private Catholic school. We used to go to church 3 times a week. We had nuns, and it was a whole experience of being in Catholic school, especially, and I was, like, a part of the choir and stuff, and so especially being a part of the church. We were a part of, like, a lot of funerals and things like that. And from a very young age, I remember I used to think I would lay in bed when I was, like, maybe, you know, like, 8 or 9 or whatever. And I would think to myself, I wonder what my funeral is going to be like. Like, I wonder who's going to be at my funeral. I wonder if this person's going to be crying. Because I always thought of death as, like, when you're a kid, you think, like, especially being a Catholic, you think, like, if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. And so I always imagined that when I died, I was going to be, like, I was going to leave, of course, like, the physical world. And then I was going to be, like, a flowing entity, like Casper, who would be able to, like, watch real life happening, even though I died. Those were just things that I thought about as a kid. I don't know why. I have a cousin who is Buddhist. He's actually, it's really helped him. He was a little bit troubled for a while, like, trying to find out, like, who he was and trying to find his place. And he turned to Buddhism, and he's actually become, like, pretty high rank in, like, the Buddhist church that he belongs to and the Buddhist faith. And that's what he lives off of now, is his work with the church. It's not even a church. It's, you know, the just within the community that he's a part of. And it helped him a lot. And so I've gone to like thing, I, well, he had already like tried to teach me like, to meditate and things like that. And, you know, it was interesting to me, but I was just like, all right, a few years ago, one night I was laying in bed and, it started like that again. Like I was laying in bed and I was thinking like, oh, I wonder what kind of funeral I'm going to have. And then instead of it going the way that it usually did when I was a kid, where I think like, oh, like I'm going to be watching everyone crying for me at my funeral. I you know, I was thinking, like, I wonder who's going to be at my funeral. And then I remember thinking, I'm not going to be there. I'm going to be dead. And then I thought, oh my God. Oh my God, when I die, like, I'm going to cease to exist. Like, I don't know. It was like my mortality, like, slap, like, it just hit me in the face. Like, I got up in bed in the dark and I was, like, shaking and I was like, oh my God, like, what the fuck is going to happen to me after I die? Like, what happens to me? What is going to happen to my soul? Like, everything I have is going to be here. And then that led to me being like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my family. Oh my God, my family's going to die one day. And it became a whole episode. Like, it was like this huge, I had so much anxiety and I like threw up and then I was shaking and I was crying and I called my cousin and, it was like 3 a.m. and I called him and he answered and he was like, what's up? And I was like, dude, I'm having a full blown like existential breakdown. He was like, why? And I told him, I'm like, we're all born to die. He's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, we come to the earth, like the earth is going to outlive us. Like we go about our day every single day and we don't know that we're going to die or when it's going to happen. Like, how can we live like that? And he's like, that's not, it's a normal part of life. Like, that's how life works. And I'm like, no, that's not right. And he's like, you need to relax. He's like, you're going to make yourself sick. Like, you need to stop. And so he just like, he walked me through some like breathing exercises while we're on the phone. And then he was like, once I felt like, okay, I went to bed. And, the next night I remember I got into bed and then I was laying in bed and I was so afraid to close my eyes and go to sleep because I was afraid I wasn't going to wake up the next day. And so it just became that, like, I would drive to work and I would be anxious because I was like, oh my God, I could die on this car, like in this car right now. I could die and I don't even know it. Or I'd like have a choice between going on the highway or going on the street and I'd be like, I have to go on the street because if I go on the freeway, like it's possible I could die. Everything, like even I was like wearing a hoodie and you know how the hoodie has like the strings in the hood. I was like, this hood, like these strings could get stuck. Like I could, you know, maybe swallow them when I'm sleeping or rape wrap around my neck and I'd die, you know, like just completely terrifying things. Like I would just like drive me crazy. And anytime I would hear someone die, like if I saw in the news that somebody like died from like old age, like, I was so scared. Like, it terrified me. Like, I'd be like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Like, it just triggered me. Like, oh, my God, I'm going to die one day. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And it got really, really shit, like, bad. And my cousin and our group of friends, most of our group of friends do meditation. I have a friend who has a meditation studio. Like, she owns it. And so hanging out with them, one time we were having dinner, and I told them about how I had been feeling. And my friends were like, come to the meditation studio, we can help, like, try to, you know, help you through it. And my friend, the one who owns the meditation studio, was like, I can hypnotize you. Like, if you want to do hypnotherapy, you can, it might help you. And I was like, what does that mean? She's like, well, I would hypnotize you and it helps you, you know, like, I could help you through it. And I was like, I don't know. And so it was consistent every single day, every night. Like, I would literally go to sleep, like, fighting my sleep until I could no longer keep my eyes open because I was afraid that I wasn't going to wake up the next morning. I would get in my car, like, anxious driving to work because I didn't want to die in the car. Like, my brother would like get up to go somewhere, drive somewhere. I'd be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. What if he like, someone hits him? Or especially after my brother went through everything that he did with his kidneys, I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like, oh, it just like, it made me crazy. And so now I can go to sleep at night, but I have to like consciously not think about it. And I feel like I have a good grasp on it. And that, in that sense, but then like, it also terrifies me a lot. I think about this all the time. I haven't like had a real death in my life, like in a long time. And that scares me because I'm like, oh my God, like I'm going to lose someone. It's going to drive me. It's going to destroy me. And those aren't like rational things to be afraid of. I mean, I think everybody is aware of our mortality, and most people are aware they're going to die one day, and they're like, you only YOLO once. That's a joke. But you only live once. Or, you know, people say like, live this day as it's every day as if it's your last. Like, that doesn't resonate for me. Like, I'm terrified all the time that something's going to happen to me and I'm going to die. And that's not a rational fear to have. And so last year I ended up going to talk to someone, and that's when they told me that this was not, it's not it's not like a something common. It's not a very common thing, but it is a thing. I mean, people, it's an anxiety of death, honestly. It's called death anxiety. That's what it is. And so they told me that all I can really do is just take it day by day, and which is what I do now. But sometimes it just like, it triggers me and it's bad. Like this weekend, and like thinking about losing my grandma just completely fucking drove me nuts, and I couldn't go to sleep. Like, I did literally that night, like I cried myself to sleep because I was so scared. And not even like worried about, like, of course I was worried about my grandma, but I was like scared of death. Like, I remember one time the night that I called my cousin, I was like, oh my God, we're all born to die. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, it's like a sick joke. Like, it's like a timer that's going, and it's going to go off one day, and you're going to die. The timer's going to go up on your life. And he's like, no, your purpose is to live. That's what we're here for. And I'm like, but why? What's the point? And he's like, well, that's what our purpose is. I'm like, who said that's our purpose? Like, we're just filling cemeteries with bodies. And he's like, no, that's not, people don't think like that. And that's how I thought about things. My cousin one day, took me to, he really wanted me to come and like meet, I guess like his, mentor, or like his like master is what he calls him. And, that sounds sexual, like his like Buddhist teacher or whatever. And he really, really wanted me to come meet him because he said that he really wanted me to talk to him. And I told him, like, have you told him about me? And he's like, well, I told you you're my cousin and that you would benefit from coming to the things, but I've never told you anything personal about you. I was like, okay. Because that makes me nervous when people talk about like my business to other people. I don't know. And so finally he convinced me to come with him to this thing, and we ended up going to like this conference. It was like at a hotel, and we walked in the conference room. It was like a big conference hall. And we walk in the conference hall, and I spotted the guy, his like teacher or whatever, the person that everybody came to see to learn from. And it was crazy because he was like in the middle of the room, and right as soon as I walked in the room, he looked straight at me and like met my eyes, like literally just turned straight to look at me. And I was like, what the fuck? And he's like, starts walking towards us. And he like walks towards us. And then he says, hi, like to my cousin. And then he looks at me and he was like, can I hug you? And I was like, yeah, I guess. And he hugs me and he goes, your soul is old. And I was like, what? And he's like, your soul is old. He's like, I've been looking for a soul as old as yours. And I was like, okay, cool. And then, without knowing anything about me, this guy goes, how did you deal with your dad leaving? And I was like, what? And he goes, this life, you're dealing with abandonment. How has that been for you? Like, your dad leaving. And I looked at my cousin and I was like, what the fuck is happening? He's like, and so I was just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, how does this guy know this? So whatever, we had the seminar thing. And then after it ended, we went to eat, at a restaurant. And, he asked me, like, why did you come to the seminar? He's like, because he's been trying to bring you for a while. Like, why did you come with him this time? And I just told him about how I was, like, having a lot of anxiety about, like, death-related things, and that it, like, really was cutting into, like, my, like, sanity, because I wasn't sleeping, like, I wasn't eating, and it was just driving me crazy. Like, I was just, like, constantly in fear of something happening to my loved ones and something happening to me and me not waking up the next morning and not, you know, it was making me crazy. And, I asked, like, I said that's why my cousin had brought me with him, because he wanted to see, he said that maybe it could help me. And he told me that, sorry if you guys heard that, my phone was plugged in and I don't like holding it when it has the charger plugged into it. So I took it out. This Buddhist priest or whatever, told me that, the people that suffer from this disorder, I mean, it is a phobia, but that is like our soul being aware of, like, conscious of this life, like, of our mortality in this life. And he was telling me, because your soul has lived through so many lives, you've lived so many lives, in every life you learn something new. He's like, until you're enlightened and you're completely centered, and then that's when you die, your soul dies. But, you know, you go through lives over and over and over. He's like, when I met you, he's like, right as soon as you walked in the room, like, I could feel like somebody, an old soul walked in the room. He's like, and I've been looking for an old soul like yours for a long time. And he said, you're getting to the end of your lives. You're a very old soul. And I was like, oh my God, how the fuck is that supposed to make me feel better? I'm already anxious and crazy about dying in this fucking life, and then this guy's telling me that, like, my soul's gonna fucking die too. And I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Like, I started having, like, a fucking anxiety attack in the middle of dinner. And he was like, calm down. Like, he's like, there's nothing. He's like, how you're feeling right now, he's like, you're so aware of your mortality in this life. He's like, but it's because your soul, like, you're awakened enough, or, like, your soul is conscious of, like, how mortal we are, you know, in this life or whatever. And he was like, he's like, he's like, you're with someone, right? I was like, uh-huh. He's like, have you told him you don't want to have children? And I was like, what? And my cousin, like, literally was in the middle of a conversation with someone else and literally turned and looked at me, because we had never talked about that before. And I was like, what? And he goes, have you told him you don't want to have kids? And then I was like, come again? Because at that point, like, I hadn't ever even really talked about it that much. He's like, you don't feel like you were supposed to. He's like, you don't feel like you are meant to have children this life. And I was like, I don't. And he's like, yes, you're not. He's like, you're not meant to have children this life. He's like, you have. He's like, the reason that you're so nurturing, you're so motherly and stuff like that is because you have been a mother in past lives. But I think this life you're supposed to, like, rely on yourself. He's like, and that also comes from the abandonment when you were a kid. He's like, you felt abandoned, and that in turn has made you feel like you were alone. And he's like, would you say that's right? And I was like, yes. And it was like, it was weird, because, like, this guy didn't even know me, and he was, like, reading me like a fucking book. Everything he was saying was, like, spot on. And He's like, are you freaked out right now? You're freaking out. I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking freaking the fuck out, like, right now. Like, I really don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to say. And so he like, just told me, you know, to meditate and that I could, you know, do things and to make myself, to deal with it. And it's weird because, like, that experience with him, it did help me. Like, and especially, like, when me and my cousin left, we got in his car, and my cousin was like, what the fuck was that? I was like, dude, that's your fucking priest. He's like, I know. He's like, but I've never seen him interact with someone like that. Like, he's like, the fact that he, like, read you that quick, you know? And I was like, yeah, dude, like, I know. But yeah, the priest guy or whatever told me that my soul is really old. And, which makes me nervous because fucking, like, I don't know what happens afterwards. Like, what happens after I die? Like, it scares me to think that it's just like a light that goes out. You know, it's just like a light that goes out and then that's it. And then other people are born and it's like, what does a life mean, you know? I don't know. So it's hard. Anytime that I think about, like, someone dying, or even, like sometimes I'll see on the news, they talk about someone dying, and I'm like, oh my fucking God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't, oh my God, oh my God. Like, it's like, I get triggered, and then I just can't, like, fucking sleep, and I can't, like, fucking eat. Like, I can't drive myself anywhere. Like, it gets really bad sometimes. And that's what happened this weekend with my grandma. Like, seeing my grandma, like, sick just fucked me up. Like, fucked my life up. Like, I couldn't. That night, I, like, literally cried myself to sleep just because I was thinking about it. And I just, like, was terrified. Like, it terrifies me. I'm so terrified of dying. Like, and that's not normal. Like, it's not normal for someone to feel like that. So the fact that, like, a few of you guys actually, like, reached out and said, like, hey, I go through this too, was really, really nice, because it's, like, devastates your life. It happens where sometimes I won't do things, or I'll purposely, like, take a different route home because I'm like, oh, there's a street, like, going to my old job, there's a street where, like, it's, like, there's a lot of curves, and there's been a lot of car crashes, and I would deliberately, like, take a longer route so I wouldn't take that street, because I was afraid that I was going to die on that street. Like, things like that, it's not normal. Like, I don't know why it happens. And so I feel like now I have a pretty good grasp on it, but sometimes it happens that I'm just, like, I start thinking, and I'm like, fuck my life. Like, last week I was, like, reading about fucking Edna St. Vincent Millay, and, like, how she died, and I was just like, oh my God, 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 like, because I, like, admire her a lot, because she was a writer, and so I'm like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like, Edna St. Vincent Millay was alive one time, and she wrote all these things, and I love her. Sylvia Plath was alive, and she wrote all these things, and then she killed herself. Like, oh my God, and they died, and, like, what the, like, it just, I don't know why it happens, it just fucking happened, and it just, like, drives me nuts, and so, yeah, so it's fucking annoying. It's really annoying, honestly, but I can't not do it. Like, it just happens, and it's terrifying, and, it scares me a lot. I just hope that, like, as I get older, it'll get better. I don't know. Yeah. I'm actually gonna, like, set up the Patreon today. I'm actually on Patreon right now. Like, I was, like, building my page. Do you guys remember this song? Where did it go? I literally just... Oh, here it is. Do you guys remember the song? Oh, Things were good when we were young. And I could see the blur of a thousand men who have come and gone. Now we dream, cause now is gone. Things were good when we were young. Come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. A bunch of you guys also asked me, like, if I have, like, an email address or anything where, like, you guys could send donations instead of, like, the Patreon thing. Okay, the music's still really loud. I do have an email that I set up specifically for this account. I can't remember what it is. It's thegirlfromtheaudios@gmail.com. I'll put it in, like, the post. And, yeah, so that's going to be the email that I have. Is it safe to say, come on, come on? Yeah, this song's old. This song's old too. Listen, man, I heard you got you a dime piece, man. One of them Beyonce, maybe good types, man. Is that true, man? I just want to know.
I mean, shit. To be honest with you, man, she's a
bad thing. Funny as hell. Thick as fuck, oh my god. That's my baby, Caroline, you divine. Mighty fine, shorty really blow the pipe. That's true, like a pro, fuck you thought. I was trying to come up for like a banner for like my Patreon that I'm picking, and I was gonna put like, I was trying to come up with like a witty line, and I was like, what if I put like, not for the faint of heart, cause like it has heart in there, and my username is heart damage. And then I was like, that's fucking retarded. I'm not gonna do that. I have to stop saying retarded. It's not politically correct. And then I was gonna put, like, let's get damaged. But I was like, that sounds like we're gonna get fucked up. And then I asked a friend of mine who I, like, talk to that's also, like, on Reddit. And he said... What does he say? Cause gray scenes might be print, but I love your bloopers. I'm like, I'm trying to set up my Patreon, I don't know what to call it. Help. And he said, sounds for you to fap to. And then I said, beat your meat to this. Choke your chicken while I pluck my fiddle, and it made me laugh a lot. Planetary intergalactic. Do you guys know how, like, I on my Reddit, I have, it says, like, oh, and I have a basketball game tomorrow. A lot of you guys don't know where that's from. It's not actually for a basketball game. There's, like, this vine, this little boy, his name is Trey, and he goes, it's, like, a close-up of his face, and he goes, hi, my name is Trey, I have a basketball game tomorrow, I'm a point guard, I got a shoe game, and that's my favorite vine, so that's why I have that in there. But for a while, I changed it to this, a line from the song that says, I like my sugar with coffee and cream. And a lot of people didn't understand, like, I had somebody message me and was like, what do you mean you like your sugar with coffees and cream? And I'm like, dude, it's a fucking reference. And I like doing things like that because I like when people recognize it. Like, the other day when I posted on R4R asking for people that, like, wanted to be friends, strictly friends, I put in there, like, if you know any of these quotes, like, then we can be friends. And some of the quotes on there were like, oh yeah, I talked about this. But I put on there, like, I saved Latin, what did you ever do? And somebody wrote to me and was like, oh, I fucking love Rushmore. And then, like, I used Tinder for, like, a week one time. Literally for 1 week. And I had that as, like, my tagline or whatever. It said, like, I saved Latin, what did you ever do? And then people would write to me and were like, what the fuck do you mean you saved Latin? And I'm like, okay, so you're not a Wes Anderson fan. Like, if you write to me and you ask me, like, what does that mean? I'm like, okay, this person doesn't know who the fuck Wes Anderson is. So... You guys want to know something funny about, like, when I use Tinder? So, like, I like to keep it clean, clean. About 2 years ago, not this past Christmas, but the Christmas before that, I used Tinder for, like, literally for a week, and I met this guy named Ruben, and I thought he was super cute, and he was, like, tall. I remember when we started talking, like, I asked him how tall he was, and he was like, I'm 6'3". And I was like, you should just put that on your profile. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, don't put anything, just put, I'm 6'3". And he thought it was hilarious, and he did. But anyway, like, I started talking to this guy named Ruben, and he was, like, very beautiful man. And, yeah, we, like, started talking a lot and hung out and stuff. And then at Christmas, I went to Christmas with my family. And I have this niece who at the time was 18. What? Sorry. I need to change the song. Okay. So I had this niece who was 18. And my niece is, like, full-blown, like, typical 18-year-old. Like, beat face, perfect eyebrows, nice hair, wears like high-waisted mom jeans because they're in now, and crop tops, and, you know, like Vans. I mean, that actually sounds like me. except that I don't wear makeup every day. I literally get distracted by every song. Anyway, so I went to Christmas, and my niece is 18, and I had told her that I was gonna, like, start using Tinder, and she was like, at Christmas, she was like, hey, have you met anybody on Tinder? I was like, yeah, I met this guy, and he's really cute, and he's really cool. And she's like, oh, have you hung out with him? I was like, yeah, yeah. And she's like, do you have a picture of him? I was like, oh, yeah, I have a picture of him. So, but I didn't have, like, a picture of him, so I, like, went on Tinder, and I showed her. I pulled up, like, his profile. And then this stupid bitch goes, oh, my God, I matched with him. And I was like, no. She's like, yeah, I did. And he was 26, and I was like, you're fucking kidding. And she's like, no, I swear, I matched with him. And then I was like, what the fuck? And, like, everybody, I was showing, like, my cousins a picture of him, and they were like, oh, he's cute. And then when she said she matched with them, they thought it was fucking hilarious. So then later on, like, he called me at 12 a.m., and he, like, was drunk with his family, and he was like, I'm telling my family about you and how cool you are. You have cool tattoos and you're super pretty. And I was like, Ruben, dude, you, I was like, what's the age limit on your Tinder? And he was like, what? I was like, what's your age limit? And he was like, I don't know why. I was like, you match with my 18-year-old niece. And I had asked her already, like, you're fucking with me or are you serious? She's like, I'm serious. No, that's not what happened. So she told me I'm serious. Then he called me and I went in the bedroom because, like, the music was playing and stuff. And then he was like, I'm telling my family that I met this girl that I like and that you're super cool. You have tattoos and you're super pretty. And then, like, my niece walked in the room and went in the bathroom. And then she came out of the bathroom. I was on the phone with him. And she yells, did you tell him I matched with him? And I was like, oh, and I started laughing. And I was like, Ruben, what's your age limit on Tinder? And he was like, why? And I was like, you match with my 18-year-old niece. And I started laughing. I wasn't mad about it. I thought it was hilarious. And he got so mad. He was like, what the fuck? I was like, what? And he's like, what do you mean I match with your niece? I was like, you match with my niece. And he got super defensive. And then he hung up on me. He was like, I don't fucking need this. And I was like, what the hell is happening? And so, we got a full-blown fight. Like, he called me again, and then, like, I went in the bedroom, and then we were fighting. Like, it was, like, a fight. Because he was like, oh, I just don't understand why you brought that up. And I was like, well, I just thought it was funny. And he's like, no, you guys are trying to, you're trying to humiliate me. I was like, I'm not trying to humiliate you. You're fucking drunk. I'm like, if I was trying to be mean to you, I would fucking stop talking to you. I'm like, I think it's hilarious that you match with her. And so, a full-blown fight, like, he was drunk, and he was just, like, a mess, and he was, like, just, like, oh, well, I don't know, and I was, like, oh, my God, this is so stupid, and then, literally later on, like, I, like, put my phone on silent, left my phone in my purse, because I was, like, I'm not fighting over this shit, like, this is dumb, and it's Christmas, and so I went back to, like, with my family, and we're in the dining room, and we're drinking shots, and my niece was hella fucked up by this point, and she turns around, and she goes, Tia, I need to tell you something, and I was, like, what? She's, like, I didn't match with Ruben, I lied. And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah, I thought it'd be funny. And she, like, laughs. She's like, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, no, you're kidding. And she's like, no, I'm not. And I was like, Isabel, you're fucking kidding. She's like, yeah, well, I mean, I was kidding about matching with him. I was like, this motherfucker. And I told her, I was like, dude, he was so mad. She's like, why? He was funny. I was like, he was embarrassed. Like, what the fuck? And so then I called him and I told him that she had lied. And he was like, oh, we'll talk about this tomorrow. And, like, I talked to him about it the next day, and he was like, dude, I was so embarrassed, like, and I was like, did you think you actually matched with her? He's like, oh, yeah, I thought I did. And so, but yeah, she lied about that, and he was fucking pissed. This is my favorite Beastie Boy song. You guys want to know what song's been stuck in my head for, like, 3 fucking days, and I don't know why, because I'm a fucking idiot? This one. Actually, before I play it, if you listen to, like, Spanish music, like, rock en español, and you know who Molotov is, this is what the Señor Rolas is based on, but this is the original. This song has been stuck in my head for, like, fucking week. If the song wants to start, that'd be fucking great, actually. Why is this stuck in my head? I don't know. So there's this band in Spanish, like in Mexican rock, who's called, they're called Molotov, and they did an album of, like, tributes to songs that they like, and this song was one of them. Where is it? This is their version. This is one of my all-time favorite bands.
Le aviso, soy un buenísimo pa' nada. La sociedad me navidad. Diseño rolas, diseño rolas.
They have a bunch of different songs on this album. Can you guys tell I have nothing to do with my life because I'm fucking talking about Maná right now? They also did, if you guys have ever heard, Girls by the Beastie Boys. Girls, all I really want is girls. In the morning it's girls, and in the evening it's girls. I like the way that they walk, and it's fun to hear them talk. Yeah, so they did a version of that song. And then they also did that song that I was playing by the Beastie Boys. It has that part in it where it goes do 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 do. Here, I'm gonna play it. Whatever, fuck this. There you go. So Molotov did a version of Rock Me Amadeus, and it's called Amateur. That's what the song's called, but they put that part in the song too. This is... I'm waiting for the guitar to come in.
con los mismos calcetines.
Amadeus, Amadeus. Yeah, this, I have to go forward. Oh, here it is. Wait, did I miss it again? I did. I'm not gonna stop until I find the guitar part. Oh, here it is. Here it is. So good. That whole album is really good. I have that on my playlist too. I made a Mexican playlist. What else do I have on here? Classic Molotov. Frijolero. You guys want to hear me sing in Spanish?
De que me pongan sombrero, escuches tantes cuando digo, no me llames frijolero, aunque existe algún respeto, no metamos las narices, porque armamos la moneda, haciendo guerra a otros países. O intereses nuestras deudas, todos no sabemos quién se queda con la feria. Aunque nos hagan la fama de que somos vendedores de las drogas que sembramos, ustedes son consumidores. Stay on the side of the goddamn river, don't call me gringo, you beaner.
This is like 40 minutes. Of course it is. Anyway, yeah, I'm gonna just bounce now because this song is gonna play us out.
No es un mandamiento ser la diva del momento. ¿Para qué trabajar por un cuerpo escultural? ¿Acaso deseas sentir en ti todos los ojos y desencadenar silbidos al pasar? Mira la esencia, no las apariencias. Mira la esencia, no las apariencias. Y los ojos la ventana a nuestra alma aprisionada. Mira la esencia, no las apariencias. Y se ve superficiales. Lo que hay adentro es lo que vale.
All right, I'm gonna go now.